Now, on UK Health Radio, treat yourself to an upgrade. Pack away your low self-esteem. Leave behind that empty feeling. Stow your fears and doubts in the overhead locker. And go from stress to authentic success with Danielle Sachs.
Another week, to another show. Welcome. Thank you so much for listening in. And I trust that I can see you this week, that I can hear you, that I can feel you, and that I can inspire you to have a better relationship with yourself, to better your relationship with your body, with your feelings, with your needs. Because today we are talking about nonviolent communication called NVC. I'm talking today with Marije Roos. She's a Dutch trainer in nonviolent communication since, I think, about 5 years. And let's be honest, NVC, nonviolent communication, is a super simple and effective tool to deepen your connection, create cooperation, and support you to live your values. And I myself have studied nonviolent communication about 9, 10 years ago, and I did it for 5, 6 years in a row. I became a trainer. I was so impressed by this amazing, it's a simple and effective tool indeed. And I use it all the time in my own life, in the life of my clients. So I am actually really, really super excited to speak today to someone like Marije, who is also a mother of two girls, and she is dedicated to implementing the teachings of nonviolent communication in her relationship with her own children, of course, and she also teaches it to parents, teachers, coaches, anyone who spends time with children. Because even working one-on-one with people, she realizes that NVC can really deepen your relationship with yourself and with others. Now, why have I invited Marije? Because there is not more, how can I express this? I really feel that you and I, both of us, we need, with layers, deepen our own relationship with ourselves and our bodies. I think more than ever before, the outside world is asking so much of us, is asking so many deadlines, so much pressure, so much uncertainty. There's so much going on in the outside world that our inner self, our relationship with ourselves becomes more and more important and essential to actually really do more than just survive and thrive in this world of transition, change continuously and quickly, rapidly. So I cannot wait to have a deep conversation. And I'm sure you'll hear Marije talk from a place of vulnerability, integrity, honesty, and a deep sense of feeling the words, feeling every word that she says. She is one of those people that really, she walks her talk. And so she lives nonviolent communication, maybe not the perfect way, but she is walking her talk for sure. So I can't wait to speak to her just now after this little break.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. And as I said in the intro, today we are talking mostly about nonviolent communication, because here with me, a really, really beautiful soul. Welcome, Marije.
Thank you so much, Daniela.
I'm so pleased that we have, again, a Dutch person talking to me, because I try to have a show with people from all around the world. So it is so nice to have you here. And the first thing I'm going to ask you is, I read a little bit about your bio, and it said that through yoga and meditation, you got connected to, you know, the relationship with your body. And then through NVC, you got to the relationship with your thoughts and mostly your feelings. Can you give me a little bit of a, an intro on how did you come into that relationship with your body and your feelings? Tell us a little bit the story on how you got there. Because most young people, to be honest, are not really immediately into relationship with their body and into relationship with their feelings. So I think, I'm not saying you're an exception, Maria, but I so love it that from a young age already, you were, you know, you intended to have that relationship. So tell us a little bit about that.
Thank you for the question. Yeah, so many things comes up. Like when you say, you know, from a young age, immediately I think, oh, you know, I wish I had that, or I kept that from a very young, like from the beginning.
Oh, okay.
Because I think we're all born with this, with being so close to our emotions, our feelings, our bodily sensations. Like if I look at children, they do nothing else than to react on the impulses from their body, following kind of like, oh, a need is met, celebrating, playing. And when a need is not met, you know, take a toy from a child and they will scream, they will cry. Like,
so what's your story?
So then my story is that I would say I was very disconnected from my feelings. And yeah, and for me, really like the connection of my body is my sensory system, what everything I feel in my body, but also the senses of what I hear, what I smell, what I.
Oh, great. Mm.
And the feelings for me are really directing me to, you know, there is something important for me. Either a need is met, I experience connection, and my body lets me know, you know, I'm fulfilled with connection, or my body is signaling to me, you know, I'm nervous, like right now, like we're starting this conversation and I notice a little nervousness in my body, like a bit of tension, pressure on my chest. And it's really showing me, like, you know, this is important to me.
Can you tell me, before you were this close to your feelings and needs and all that NVC chapter, did you have symptoms that you didn't listen to your body or your feelings?
Very much. Yeah, very much. Yeah.
Can you explain a little bit around that?
Yes, I was very depressed.
What age are we speaking about?
I was 15 years old.
Okay.
And I got into, like, I stopped eating and then I couldn't get back to eating and I developed an eating disorder. And I would say it was, from looking back at it now, like, wow, I didn't learn, you know, to listen to my body, like, and how to then care for the message that my body gives to me. And
so was the eating disorder one of the symptoms? Is that what you're trying to say? It was a symptom of not being connected with your body? Or how would you explain that?
Yeah. Yes. I definitely think that, you know, when I wouldn't have this voice in my head, you know, saying, you know, that I'm not good enough, you know, that I'm, you don't, I didn't, yeah, what was the exact voice in my head? It was something like, you know, skinny is better.
Okay.
Came a fear around gaining weight, for example. It was the voices in my head. I would say they were, like
demons. Yeah, they were like demons, like monsters. I hear that often say, but people with eating disorder, it's like a monster. Like you say, you don't have control. They have control over you. Is that what you mean?
It's very much the experience. Yeah. I don't know how that's for other people that experienced that, I still very much had also connection to myself. I saw that I was skinny. I didn't like how I looked. But in the same time, there was something else that took over. And yes, people say a demon, a monster, I recognize that. Like, as if, you know, something else just took over my whole, my choices, my actions, my thoughts.
I see that in my practice a lot, Maria, that, you know, people come in with a total disconnection and it's like somebody else or something else is taking over. They are not, you know, in the driver's seat of their life. It's something or someone else that is in the driver's seat. And that's actually quite scary. It's stressful as well, isn't it?
Very, yeah. I sometimes see it as a loop. No, it was like
a loop. Yeah.
My brain was just like so often played. Then that was the only loop, the only recording that was going on. And it was so, you know, well paved road. So it's easy to go there. And yeah, that was the only place I could stay, be. Yeah.
And so how did that change? Did your eating disorder, how did you manage to conquer that? Or was it through NVC as well? Or what
happened? Definitely, NVC has played a huge part in my healing. Because I did come out of this eating disorder, it seemed like, when I was 18, because they gave me antidepressant and one type of antidepressant made me again like look at the world. I started eating again, but what I did it very much from looking back now,
more like a mental kind of thing.
I didn't go to the source.
I agree.
Rather, I touched actually, you know, what caused this to happen. And I just override my system. For example, I went very much into smoking weed.
So you look for another kind of escape.
And then
or control.
Easier to eat again. But yeah, I just again override my system. And when I was in my end exam year from the art academy, when I was in my 20s, then I had a lot of stress. Then I decided, you know, to do a diet. Not to lose weight, but then from the diet, I lost weight. I wanted to eat more healthy. That was the... And then again, I came into this loop. So hard to get out of it. And then... I managed to deal, to live with it, to live a normal life, to have a normal body weight.
Okay.
But still, the root cause was never touched, and so my relationship to food was not healthy, or the
not still the same.
My body was not healthy, and that really changed when I started doing yoga. No, to feel my body from the inside. It brought me so much closer to actually wanting to nourish my body, to feel a love, love or warmth.
That's beautiful, hey? To feel the love from within and the love for your body. That's really beautiful. Instead of having the monster saying, oh, you know, you're too fat or you're too this, or the critic. Like the critic always judging you.
Yeah. But my critic was not gone and is still there.
Thank you. That makes me feel better because mine is still there too.
Oh,
so what did NVC do to you? Explain a little bit about your journey in NVC.
It made me, because when I did yoga, I did really build a more close relationship to my body, and in the same time I also started to hear these thoughts in my head, so loudly speak to me. And my teacher said, you know, to me, like, you have to become friends with your inner saboteur. And I thought, yeah, that sounds great, but how to do that? I had no idea. Like, how, what to,
yes.
Oh, now you should speak to it, he said.
Yes.
But how to speak to it, that the clarity, how to do that, really came through me through MPC.
Okay.
And yeah, like that behind every judgment, there is a beautiful need. This is Rosenberg, the founder of MPC. And this sentence, I'm still digging it, you know, I'm still unpacking it. It's such a...
Say that again. So behind every... Say that again. So for anyone listening to really grasp this, because it's such an important sentence.
Yeah. I think literally he says, behind every judgment, there's an expression of a beautiful unmet need.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I love that too. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And so how did that speak to you? What did you do with this sentence for yourself?
Yeah, I want to answer it. And before that, maybe to also to share with the listeners, what are needs? Because my connotation with needs was, you know, needy, for example, you know, I shouldn't be too needy. I shouldn't have needs, and or I should fulfill my own needs.
Yes.
And to say like needs are beautiful, it took me time actually. I can still have it with moments, you know, if I have a need for attention.
Yes.
It doesn't come in me if like, oh, I have this beautiful need. Like how people speak to children, you know, he's just doing it for attention. I see attention as such a beautiful need. Like, oh, long for...
Isn't it a basic need for children as well? Don't we all as children mainly and as humans need attention?
Yeah, I would say yes. Yes, like we all long to be seen. Deeper maybe, you know, to belong to the human tribe, to be part of. Yeah.
True. And so what did it do for you to discover those unmet needs?
Yes, it's so because needs, what you say exactly, you know, we all have this need for attention. Needs is something universal. It doesn't matter if we are a child or we are a grown up or what age we have, where we are born on the planet, we all share the same needs. And this is the place where I can feel compassion for other people. Like I might really not like what people do or what I did, but if I connect to, you know, the why, and the why for me is the need, why I did or say what I did, so there I can, yeah, feel understanding or compassion. Maybe to give an example to make it really clear of, like, you know, when I yell at my children and I see the fear in their eyes, or they start crying, or, you know, or then they start shouting to each other. Immediately my brain goes into judgments towards myself. You know, I'm a bad mother, giving the wrong example. I should know better. I'm an NLP trainer, and blah blah blah. Yeah, and then these are just judgments. Like, what is behind? Like, what's behind these judgments? What is the beautiful need there? The unmet need. Yeah, like on that moment, I chose to yell for a beautiful reason. Maybe I yelled because, you know, I felt so tired. And my whole body was longing for rest. All my body wanted was rest. And that was the only way in that moment I knew how to care for that rest. And then the other part, the judgments that say, like, you shouldn't yell, you know, you're a bad mother. They also want to care for a beautiful need. And I would say, if I translate that, you know, towards needs, the judgments towards needs, it would be like, I had a longing, or I long for care for my children. I so want them to feel safe with me. So important that, you know, my children are not afraid of me, but they feel safe with me. And they feel my love and care for them. And so I the need for care and safety on that moment was unmet. And when I land there, for me, that's such a different place to be than when I'm judging myself. When I'm believing my judgments.
Yes.
I'm staying in this belief that, you know, and the tragedy is, you know, when I stay there, if I believe I'm a bad mother, the next time my children do something that triggers me, you know, my body is still tense from all
yes,
my
you problems. Still are in contraction.
My whole body is, and then they do something that I don't like. I come from this tense place and
it's an explosion.
And react exactly from the same paradigm. You know, this belief of that there is something that is good and bad. That's what judgments are. I come from this belief. You know, I know what is good and bad. It's very big. Yeah.
So is it, has that become now a little bit your unique experience on how a mother or a parent and a child, because that's what we wanted to talk about a little bit today, about the hurt between a parent and a child. How can you describe that hurt?
One thing came up for me before. Let's see if I remember it. So, at least my experience from my upbringing was when there was hurt. For example, my parents did something that was painful in me. I have little memories that we spoke about it, that there was room for the pain.
Yes.
And I say it with a lot of understanding towards my parents and compassion towards my parents, because now these days we have had conversations that
yes.
we really spoke about things, but and because I so understand in that moment when you do something and you see that it hurts your child, I from my own experience I can say I feel guilty. And for me, guilt is actually a confusion. When I feel guilt, I am in this belief that I did something wrong. And I would say no human being can do anything wrong. We cannot, because all we do is to care for needs. And now I'm back to what I wanted to say. And I can, you know, really not like what I have done, or what other people have done. I really can disagree with, you know, if people hit their child, for example, I disagree with that. You know, I believe we shouldn't hit children.
But when you go into the need of that parent doing that.
Exactly. And there I can feel.
Then you can, have compassion.
And the same with myself, like when, you know, even when I don't like to hit, when I, let's say I hit, suddenly I hit my child, you know, and it's something that I even don't agree with myself. But it happened. I hit my child, you know, and I can so, you know, mourn. It's so different mourning than, judging myself.
Yes.
Like, I so mourn, and I call that strategies, what I did to meet a need. Maybe I hit my child because I so wanted peace. from that moment, the harmony. I wanted to care for the harmony. If it was successful or not, it doesn't matter. I did that because I longed for harmony. There, I can really deeply mourn the strategy that I hit my child. And that is, for me, welcoming the pain. And even like, now I feel, speaking about it, I feel this tension on my heart of like, and then I would really, you know, take time for that tension and to welcome it with my breath, for example, like when I breathe to go to this place and say, you know, unpleasant feeling, yeah, welcome, you're welcome to do what you're there doing.
But how do you explain that to the child? Because it's important to do the work on yourself.
Yeah.
But what about the child that got hit?
Yeah. So if such a thing happens, let's stick with this example. And this is also comes with timing. I cannot force this to happen, but my ideal would be that I connect first with myself in the way we just described, and to really get into this inner clarity. I didn't do anything wrong. I mourn my strategy very, very much. I welcome my pain. And that's a way that my body actually can learn. And
yes,
I hold the need very dear. I really, that's for me very important part that, okay, but this need, I want to live this need. I want to care for my rest or for harmony. And I want to care for my connection with my child. So the care for my child. And then I would, if I have that inner clarity, only then I'm available to.
For the other person.
Yes, for the other person.
For
example, my child. And to actually hear how what I have done has affected them. Yeah. And I can only listen when I have space, when I.
Yes,
you know,
I agree.
Yeah. If I don't have space, you know, when I'm full with my guilt story, then how can I listen? Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that was also the example I wanted to give to. I so understand that my parents didn't come back maybe when they did something for me because they were feeling guilty. And how could they, you know, listen to me when immediately if I would say, you know, it was so painful for me that you yelled at me or you were never there when I needed you. I just make a fake example. Yeah. Then immediately that would, I imagine, be so painful for them to hear.
But a lot of resistance because they couldn't have the room to go into that and to listen to that. That's what you mean.
Yeah. To fully like, and then to enjoy my pain. And if now go back to this example, if I was hit my I hit my child, then to listen to my child, really hear their pain. But Marshall Rosenberg said it, it's like to enjoy the pain of the other.
That's not easy, eh? To enjoy the pain?
No. And it sounds a bit cruel. I just want to clarify. I don't like that they have pain. No. But to see the, you know, to take it in, to take it in with my whole system. Yes. Like, and to really, to go in their shoes, to stand
yes.
in, like, wow, how it affected you, what I have done. Again, really as a way for my body to learn from this experience. And,
wow.
And I wrote a story that you read and you reacted on this, but to give a little, personal story. I did this with my daughter. I didn't plan it. I didn't go to her and say like, oh, was it painful for you? This and that. But she starts speaking to me just at a random moment when I brought her to bed. And I think
How old is she?
She's seven. Yeah, and then she said to me, she really didn't like it that I always yelled at her, and that Daddy also always yelled.
Always.
She used this word always, and in that moment, I noticed how that word affected me, because all of my habitual, ways wanted to react and tell her.
It's not always, it's just this one time.
And I just, so it really requires this inner clarity that, when other people speak judgments, that's not the truth, I would say. It's a tragic description of reality. But something is very important for her, especially when she speaks judgments. If the other person speaks judgments, we know, like, okay, there's something there very important. So if in your capacity, if in my capacity, I can stay, with her and
find out the need behind that then?
Yeah, to really like, and to be touched by the needs. Your needs are not just words. Connection, love, cooperation. No, there are experiences in my body. Yeah. And then,
beautiful.
Yeah. And then I listened to her and she was sharing. And then at one point, when, like, till the end of words, when no words were coming anymore, she told me, like, no, Mama, my heart is singing. It's dancing. And she moved her hands like far away from her body. It's dancing over there. And she wiggled with her fingers. And she was like, I feel so free.
Oh.
And yeah, I can cry again. I'm not sure. It's that because she was complaining before that for a few weeks about her heart feeling a pain in her heart, and after that I never heard her say about the pain in her heart.
So am I understanding well, Maria, that this is what you do, like you actually teach people on how to better their relationship with their children and listen to their needs more? Is that how you how what is your inbring in that struggle? How do you, so do parents come to you to learn more about how you do this kind of exchange and learn to practice NVC in the moment? Is that what you teach?
My personal inspiration is very much that it does start here inside. I'm pointing at my body.
Okay.
For me, if I'm not like managing to capture my own thoughts, my self judgments, and the judgments I have to another person, I if I stay in this realm of judging, then it's so hard to come from another
yes place.
And my children, I see with my children that they are copying me in everything.
Yes.
So for me, the change starts in me.
Yes.
A lot of what I teach starts with becoming aware, like how, what's happening in me, what's happening in me, what's happening in me.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful.
And of course, also a big part of the course is how do I listen? How can I listen to my children or to anyone?
Beautiful.
Children are human beings. And in that sense, we're the same. I use, different words when I listen to my 7-year-old or 5-year-old or their father or, but the essence is the same for me.
I agree. So it's all about actually first going within, creating the space so you can listen on the outside and have a relationship. Because so it's all about the relationship first with yourself, your feelings, your needs, you're really going into that. And only then can you make space and room to listen or to be there for the other person.
Yeah.
Is that a summary?
It's, I would say part of it's like, I fully agree with what you say, because I can only be available when, you know, when I have spaciousness. And for me to create spaciousness, it helps to be in touch with, you know, my needs, my feelings, my needs. And, I would say like, you know, how I speak to my children, or even behind, you know, what I say, the intention from where I come from. That's in the end what they feel, I would say. I can use the perfect words, but if I come from another intention.
It's energy, isn't it?
Yes. Mm. Yeah, the energy. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. But from which energy I come, from which intention I come. Yeah. Mm. And that happens for me to actually, yeah, to become aware of, you know, how do I speak to myself? How do I think about others?
Mm.
What thoughts are going on in my head? You know, when I will give an example to make it more clear. I have the thought, oh, my daughter is so slow. And if I keep thinking that and believing that, and I'm not taking the time to connect to what is my need there, to translate, I will keep coming from that.
Yeah, but, yeah. Of course, from that judgment point of view.
And mm. I will, and it will also be the words that in the end will come out of my mouth,
yeah.
Or the energy I carry behind my words.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
Yeah. Is so there, of course, we're digging inside mm. it, ourselves, and working with triggers of moments back in time that happened
mm.
to discover what were my needs.
To finish off this conversation, because I think, you know, we could talk for hours, because it is such an important subject about our inner world, our feelings and needs. It's such an amazing world in there. We can talk about it for ages, but is there one sentence, statement that you live by being a mother? Is there something that, you know, has been touching you for ages that you live by, so that you could give to anyone listening, any parent or any aunt or any godmother or godfather listening? Is there anything towards children as a mother, as someone in relationship with
yeah.
children? Is there
yeah.
just one sentence just to finish off?
Yeah. What came immediately was like, you know, I don't want to be perfect. I want to be a real human being.
Oh, beautiful. No perfection. Just be human.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Thank you for that. I really enjoyed this conversation, and I love your softness. You have such a special, authentic way of even talking about all of this. So really thank you, Maria. I really trust that I'm going to make a little summary after the break, just to give some insights on how I see this conversation. Thank you so much for this amazing. I'm not even going to call it a discussion. It was just a connection. Let's call it like that. Okay.
Thank you
so much, Maria.
Thank you for sure.
I'll come back after the break.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, and whoa, this was such a deep, honest, and pure conversation. Could you feel the purity, the integrity, the vulnerability that Marae was showing to us? Really, first of all, talking about her eating disorder at 15 years old, I have to admit that so many of my clients, so many of highly sensitive people struggle with eating disorders, with addictions, because we are trying to fill that emptiness. And it is so important indeed, as Maria was telling us, to go to the source. And most medicines, pills, medication techniques do not go to the root cause of the problem. Here in my practice with my 7-step system and with RTT, with hypnosis, I really go to the root cause of the problem. And we need that to take out the weeds and to really move forward and accept ourselves and go into a beautiful relationship with ourselves. So her story on how she used yoga to feel more her body and then got into NVC to realize that behind every judgment, there's an opportunity to discover your own unmet needs. And I do that with my clients, you know, really looking at our basic needs and at our particular core needs as an individual. We all have human needs, basic human needs, and we all have specific core needs every individual has, and that need for attention. Of course, we all need to be heard, seen, and understood. And so it is interesting how she helps us parents or leaders or coaches or teachers, whoever it is, to go into that relationship first with yourself and then to open up that room to see and to accept and to admit the pain of the other person and the child for sure. So there needs to be inner clarity, as she explained, to welcome the pain of someone else. You can only listen and be empathic for someone else if you have that space and not in judgment or in guilt with yourself. So the intention, the energy behind everything is really essential. And I trust that you got something out of it, whether you discovered something new, whether you recognized yourself in a little story she was saying. It's all about you. I'm here to inspire you, to motivate you, to drop, to first admit and look into yourself, into the relationship with yourself. And if you need me to work on that, please connect with me or with Maria for that matter. But don't do this on your own. It is time that you realize that it's not about judgment. It's not about being perfect, but it's about being a human being. And that was Maria's message. And that eating disorder, we need to bring those things at the surface. I call it, you know, really to admit it, to look at it, to look in the mirror and accept it and admit it. No shame, no guilt, no judgment about it. That was just a coping mechanism, a symptom of something that you need to work on. And that's totally okay. It's about progress, not perfection. And so I trust that this interview, this show, has given you the motivation to be honest with yourself. It's the second step in my 7-step process, examining your truth with honesty. And you could feel how Maria is doing that every single time. In every happening with her children, in everything she does, that's what she does, is examining the truth behind it, going to the feelings and the needs behind it, which is so beautiful. So I trust that you were inspired this week, and I will see you next week. Bye-bye for now.
From Stress to Authentic Success was presented by Danielle Sachs. Join Danielle at the same time next week here on UK Health Radio. And meanwhile, for more on how to thrive in business and everyday life by being true to yourself, go to daniellesachs.com.